Hello, my name is Dylan. I live in Colorado, and as my mother stated, I am Sheila's son. And I had wonderful opportunities growing up that at the time I wasn't so necessarily excited for. You know, when you're young, like she said, I was brought along to a lot of different conferences, but at a young age, I did start participating very in depth with a lot of those different practices she would take me to, whether it was a metaphysical fair or a workshop that she was participating in. I was lucky to be able to actually participate in those. And I started paying attention and asking the questions and attending essentially the seminars that a lot of the other people would just kind of look at me like, who is this kid? Because I didn't like being places where I didn't know what was going on. So I liked paying attention and really understanding what I could about where I was. I guess to get into more of the walk-in aspect of everything, what happened when I was younger is I had a birth defect, and that was caused from a birth defect and mutation, you could say, where my appendix was much higher than it should have been, and it was actually underneath my intestines instead of being dropped down where it should be. That ended up leading to it rupturing, and when we went into the doctors, they had no idea. We did all of the tests and everything, but because I wasn't showing signs of appendicitis, I wasn't diagnosed with that. So at the time, I think that was when swine flu was really big, and we had just gone from doctor to see what was going on, and everyone said, oh, it's just the flu, rest, make sure that you're staying well hydrated, but any amount of movement, any drinking, any food whatsoever was very, very discomfortable for me. And we ended up going into the hospital when we were on our way back. I can't remember now where we were, but my dad and I were actually going over the railroad tracks, and it was just the most excruciating pain I could ever imagine. And he called a doctor friend of his, and he diagnosed me all the way from Hawaii and said, you need to get him into the hospital right away. And when we got there, I was diagnosed with sepsis and with peritonitis, and I was undergoing those changes, moving at all. Any kind of movement, just breathing was very discomfortable. And there was a point in time where in the pre-op, I was laying in bed and my parents started hearing, as I guess what you could call my soul crying out. I started speaking in a language that I had no idea about. I had never heard it, never spoken it before. I need to get out of here. And I ended up having several different experiences. Once I came out of the surgery, it took me a while to really integrate. Difficult time learning. By the time I was able to walk again, none of my muscles worked. It was a totally foreign thing. The doctor said that was normal, that it, after, you know, intense abdominal surgeries, that could occur, but it was totally different. I mean, now looking in hindsight, I understand I had never walked before. And that was when the soul really came in, was during that surgical operation. My entire mannerisms, my mood, everything at that point changed. I went from an extremely hyperactive, crazy, wild child to, I mean, I still was and am in an extent, but I ended up really becoming much deeper into understanding energies and understanding moods of people. I could go into a certain situation and I became very, very empathic right away, which led to a lot of troubles, especially at a young age in the school systems, where I could walk into a classroom, I could be having a wonderful day, and the next thing you know, my mood automatically snaps. I could be angry, I could be ready to get a fight with someone, I could be sad because I didn't really have any. A few of the memories I had right away were just different languages, you could say, different voices of people talking all the time. It was very jumbled a lot at first, almost like constant migraine for what I could even say of years of just headaches, of not really understanding. misunderstanding, have a lot of miscommunication issues, because I constantly was hearing voices or words or different things like that. And as I've gotten older, I've been able to receive a message, I simply ask for it, and there it is. As we discussed so many times previously, manifestation is just occurring. So it really kind of helped me grow in a way of understanding. And again, having my mother being who she is was a delight. And honestly, I could not have done it without her help and her understanding, because as everyone has stated before, that understanding of not knowing who you are, where you are, what you're doing is very confusing. And at a young age, no one listens to you. And having someone that could understand and actually listen was extremely important and very helpful for me to not think I was crazy as I started having more and more memories come in. It wasn't until a few years ago, honestly, that I really started dropping in and understanding it more and more and just pushed it away. I ignored it. I didn't want to have anything to do with it whatsoever. I thought I was weird. I didn't get it at all. But as I've gotten older with that support network, I've had a lot more memories. And the one I now have very clearly is actually coming into the body. And what I remember is being around many different beings. I want to say, you know, 8 to 12 beings. I can't remember the exact number now, that we were in this golden pool of light, essentially. It wasn't a liquid. It wasn't a solid. And it's very hard to describe. I was fortunate enough that I got to speak on Hildegard's show that she has as well. And I had the same issue discussing it. There's not words really to represent what it is that I'm trying to convey, but it was a metallic liquid lake, essentially. And we were all floating. Everyone was probably 6 to 8 inches above this surface. And I remember this was as my soul was getting prepared to enter the body. The beings around me were very, very tall. The shortest, I would probably say, being 20 to 30 feet tall, with the tallest being 60, 70 feet. It's, again, hard to have a frame of reference at that point in time of height. But all of the beings were very, very large. Several of them were cloaked in very gorgeous robes. Again, almost a liquid flowing robe rather than a solid material. It just seemed to continuously flow energy. It was part of them, not necessarily an article of clothing. Some of the things that were with me at this time weren't even beings, weren't humanoid at all. They were geometric patterns and shapes that were continuously and flowing and spiraling in upon themselves. And beings helped me lay down, and I was floating a good 6 feet above the earth this time, and they all really gently helped me lower that metallic gold feeling. That would be the cloak, I could say, source. It was very feeling of whole standing. It was everything. And once I remember, and it was very confusing, like I said, at first to be in the body. I had things change dramatically for me. It was very hard to go out into public. I remember times where as a family would be out in a mall and I would just get deathly sick. No reason whatsoever. I could be perfectly fine, would be happy, smiling, laughing. And the next thing you know, the color would just drain from my face and I would be extremely ill. And that was because I was picking up so much on everything that was going on around me. And I really didn't have a frame of reference to put in with that. I don't really understand what it was that I was able to do to help me progress along this. I was able to come up with better coping mechanisms, clearing, get my energy patterns, because I'm still very much a sponge. I have to be very aware of where I am, what I'm doing, the kind of energy I bring into those places, because as I've gotten older, even my mood now affects others. I can go into a place and, you know, when I worked in the restaurant industry, it was very helpful because it would be chaotic and I would come in there with a very clear set and everyone would really calm down. But it was very hard because I also had to suppress all of that chaotic, crazy energy that was going on. But I much more able now to help people calm down. And that helps me a lot in my business practice that I have with my mother. I work at Spirit Way Wellness, which is the business that my mother set up. And I do body work. I do energy work. I do Reiki. And we're now offering live and dry blood analysis courses. And I've really been pushed more into the holistic aspect in the last few years. As I stated previously, I really thought that being in the kitchen industry is what I wanted to do. I started that at a young age, around the age of 14, I became interested and I got a job just doing prep and taking out trash, things of that nature. Over the years, I was able to build up and get more into the actual service of it, getting to be a line cook and then to become the sous chef of a restaurant where I was then kind of handpicked by another restaurant where I eventually worked my way up to be the sous there as well, or under sous. I was really passionate about that industry for a long time, but it was very chaotic, very hectic, and it ended up leading to several health issues in my life where I ended up getting 4 bleeding stomach ulcers. I lost an immaculate amount of weight in a very short period of time. I wasn't able to eat anything whatsoever. And that was when I really started the transition of coming into where I am now with the holistic healing aspect. And it's become much more able for me to, as I said, drop into the essence of being me. I've not really been open with talking about being a walk-in, even though my mom is the walk-in. I didn't really feel comfortable at all in the restaurant industry discussing any of those. I had a lot of people come up to me and actually talk about Reiki and things like that. And I would just kind of push it away, even though I had been trained in that. And at that time I was already a Reiki master. I still felt as though it wasn't my place to talk with people about that. I really felt separated from the lifestyle that I live now. I still don't necessarily, as so many people have said before, I'm kind of a closeted walk-in. If people talk to me about it, I'm happy to discuss it. I'm happy to bring it up, but I'm not the person that goes out and really is open and explain it to a lot of people. Outside of Hildegard's talk that I had with her, outside of here, there's probably less than 10 people I've actually talked about outside of my direct family group about it in a very intense and in-depth method like I am now, where I do have a lot of memories, some of which are more positive than others. It's the angelic realm that I'm from is nothing like this whatsoever. There is no individuality, you could say. There is no free will necessarily either. You have what there needs to be done and that's it. There is no questioning it. There is no ideas regarding anything that's right or wrong. You just do it. So there were times I remember being in a conflict where we had dozens, hundreds even of beings, different races that were all gathered together. And we were set in this council type scenario where it was just ring upon ring and it ever expanded upwards. But there was a cylinder in the middle and whoever was talking at that time, you could see almost what you could call like a hologram essentially here, where you could just see the person talking at that time and discussing. And I remember it was just a very blatant, here's the facts, here's what's happening. And there was a world that had been waging a war with so many other systems or planets or beings. And we were all there just to come up with what there was to do about it. And it ended up with a warlike scenario where I remember then being around the planet itself. And there were all sorts of different beings around there. They had technologies, they had ships, some of them were just floating, some of them were like cyborgs in a way where they were part machine, part entity, and some of them just had light bodies. Some of them were just esoteric forms that were floating energy that were around there as well. And I remember the conflict lasting quite a while, but at the very end of it, all of these different beings, whether it was a weapon, whether it was a projectile, whatever it was pointed at the planet and then it was gone. Just in a flash, it was a bright light and everything disappeared. There was no feeling associated with it. Again, there was no right, there was no wrong. It was very plain, fundamental. This is the fact, this is what happened, it's what needed to happen. And that was very hard coming into this planet, having those experiences of having free will, having the ability to do what you want, when you want, with all these ideas and all these different things constantly jumbled in your mind, it's really hard to get those all straight in your mind, because it's just so different than what I was used to at that time. So the more and more that I've come into myself of the being that I am, it's become much more fundamentally interesting for me to understand my point of view versus others' points of view, and realizing it's okay to have different points of view, and understanding that, yes, it's okay for people to think differently, and it's good for people to have their own way of thinking and free will. I think that's what makes this planet the best out of everywhere, is that we have the ability to make choices and make those life lessons that lead to the path that we're taking. I really don't feel as though there is a right or a wrong. You know, I think that we all are here for a reason, whether you want to say it's a path, whether you want to say you're here for lessons, whatever it is that people have their own ideas of why we're here. I think it's all just the experience. I think that we are here at the end of the day, not to have a checklist of things that we have to do and X, Y, and Z that have to be completed. I think that it's a lesson that we just learn, and those lessons are fundamental within ourselves. And once we are able to truly understand those lessons, that's then where growth is made. And I think that's the best thing about this planet, this realm, whatever you want to call it. You know, I was raised very fundamentally Christian before my mother's walk-in experience. My family back in Virginia, it's very Bible Belt. There is definitely only one answer in their minds. And having that mindset growing up, it was very interesting for me to understand different cultures. And now that I'm older, I definitely have more of a paganistic approach, where it's, you know, the worship of nature and the worship of energy, and the understanding that that's all we are, is energy at the end of the day. And I really enjoy learning and growing in different belief systems. I was blessed to just walk through a little bit of Nicole's life and understanding what it was like for her. I love getting different people's experiences and just truly understanding what it's like to take a step in the day in someone else's shoes. I think it was Hildegard last night in our walk-ins meeting had made a comment that really spoke to me, where she said she always was curious about what it was like to look through someone else's eyes, because I'm always out in public and I look at someone and it's interesting to say, wow, that person has their own life. That person has their own story to tell, and all of the different lessons that are here with us now. It's so amazing to have that conglomeration of so many different people and so many different cultures that we get to experience. And I think that's one of the best things about being here. That's one of the biggest things that I truly enjoy, is learning and being able to grow. Like I said, I don't believe that there's a checklist. I don't believe that there's a right and a wrong. I think it's all just growth. And that's really what I try to bring out in people, is just the truest forms of themselves, understanding and realizing that just because you were raised to believe a certain thing doesn't necessarily mean that that's how it has to be. There's always other options. There's always different ways of looking at things. There's always different perspectives that you can grow and that you can understand to learn. Recently, I've got a lot of friends that live in Europe, in Sweden especially. They've really been teaching me a lot more about Norse culture, and I've really loved that and really taken a fondness to understanding that recently as well. I think that's really helped me open up, again, kind of understanding my fundamental nature. Like I said, I don't really get out and talk about this very often, but being able to have those different people and listening to everyone today and having so many different stories and so many different connections has been wonderful, just to hear and to listen to what everyone has to say. I guess I should get more back into the walk-in aspect itself. The realm that I remember being from is very pristine. It's very neat and organized. Everything you can tell is laid out systematically for a reason. Everything is very structured. The architecture that I remember is very crystalline and marbling in a way, where it looks like ever-flowing spirals upwards of pillars and monoliths. Very Greek in a way, you could say, as well, where there's a lot of temple-looking structures with pillars, flat-looking roofs. A lot of the beings are very different where I remember being from, some of which are animalistic, some of which are humanoid, some of which, like I said previously, aren't even shapes. They're not even humanoid. They are just shapes. They're just beings of light, energy. There's no real rhyme or reason to where I'm from as far as what people look like. I remember beings that have multiple faces throughout, just cycling throughout their body, continuously morphing and changing and spiraling. I remember beings that have multiple different sets of wings. And that's one of the things I would like to say when people refer to wings, especially in the Bible with angelic beings, it's not feathers. It's not like a set of bird wings that people think of in my understanding and knowledge that I have. It's energy that's escaping the body that can't be contained in that vessel or that spirit that's just shooting out and flowing downwards. And it arcs out in very many light beams, and it's more of light that comes out rather than an actual feathery structure. Some do have more metallic looking wings. Some have actual physical sets. Like I said, some are more animalistic in nature than others. There are two beings that I work with most directly. One is portrayed to me as a very, very tall woman. She's probably, I would say, 8 to 12 feet tall. If you could think of just Wonder Woman-esque attire with the Amazonian nature, the body armor, gold, silver attire, very armored. And the other being that I work with is much more of what you could say monk looking like oriented. I first started working with this being when I started taking my Reiki classes, and we were told that we would see a being coming to us that would hold the energy for us. And that being, to me at the time, presented themselves as a man wearing a very pristine white and blue accented robe. And at first, they did not speak at all. I would ask questions and I would never get a response. And it was years and years and years that I worked with this being until I finally started getting communication with them and actually getting to hear answers for the questions I was asking. And once I did, their entire form completely changed to me, and they're no longer coming to me as a physical male. What they come to me as is more of a phoenix. And instead of it being a fiery red, it's more of ice. It's a very cold energy, very cool and soothing. It's blue and white in nature, the very similar to the kimono that they were wearing. Those are the two beings that I've worked with most directly, where I really feel like if I ever have any question whatsoever, I can drop into myself, especially at night. I try to do at least 15 to 20 minutes of meditative work before I go to bed. I've always had a hard time sleeping. And one of the ways that I've been able to get myself to sleep more effectively is dropping into a meditative state and just asking the questions, really trying to quiet my mind. And if there's any questions I have by the time I wake up, typically I have the answer to those questions. And they've really helped me come along my path, be much more open. And it was really the female that I work with that pushed me to actually get out of the restaurant industry. It was more of those, hey, are you stupid kind of, moments, just a constant like hitting along the head, like, come on, come on, come on. We've pushed you, we've pushed you, we've pushed you. This isn't where you need to be. Let's make a life change. And I've really made the last 3 years have been a huge change for me. I've really dropped in much more into the energy work that I do, into the healing practices. And I've really found it much more rewarding to be able to truly help people, be able, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. Like we like to say at the office, you cannot heal without all of those aspects being in alignment, whether it be an energetic component that's holding back a physical issue, or whether it's a physical issue that's causing you to have these patterns. I can't do this because having those excuses, we break all of that up, whether it's a compensation through emotion. It's really helped me to be able to help a lot of other people. And it's been very, very rewarding to be able to do so. I don't really know what else too much to talk about.
Dylan,
yes.
Can you share with them if you have ever seen yourself in a meditation, what your spiritual essence is like?
Yes. So it's hard describing yourself really, but what I remember is the times that I've worked doing higher self meditations, doing those kinds of practices. The first time I ever actually did it, I remember being at my mother's office far before I worked with her, and we were going through meeting our higher selves, and then I just passed out. I was asleep for like 3.5 hours afterwards. I woke up, everybody was gone. She's like, well, you very clearly needed the sleep, but I think my body wasn't actually prepared for the energy that I was trying to bring in at that time. The being that I associate most directly with myself is very tall, very similar robes as I described before, very long flowing robes, just continuously flowing. The threads where you would think the seams are silver, a very gray silver color that's just constantly flowing, looking of a liquid that's just constantly metallic flowing, dark grayish blue robes that drape down. I remember having 5 sets of different energetic wings. Some are one of fire, one of ice. One looks more like leathery in a way. That's like a set that you would actually kind of say looks more like wings itself. A very metallic looking set. And then the energetic as well, just that overflowing of what you would just say light draping down. At the center of my being, there's a very, very bright light with constantly rotating rings. It's 2 spirals that are rotating opposite of each other, and it has a very bright white flame in the middle of that. And I don't know if it's eyes or just what looks like eyes, but the rings around it are just surrounded with eyes. Above the head, I've never seen my direct face directly, but the eyes itself are of an energetic, wispy kind of ghostly nature that come out about, I would say, yay far away from the face, that are very white and blue in nature, with the very centers being a golden red color. And then what you could say is lightning just coming out the top of the head in about 8 different arcs that's just constantly spinning and rotating, and what you could say looks like a crown formation almost. As I said before, there's no real rhyme or reason to what the beings look like where I'm from and what I remember. All of them are unique. All of them are individual. I have never once seen what most people would think of as a quote unquote angel that's just a very pretty person with wings. I've never really noticed that myself directly with the beings that I've been in direct contact with. They're typically much more bestial in nature or much more geometric. A lot of them are just shapes. A majority, I would say, are shapes with a very similar rotational pattern to the rings I was describing, with different geometric patterns, shapes, writing, runes, whatever it is that's around them in constant moving, flowing rotation.
Do you have any advice that you can give to people about, you know, the times that we're in, or anything that you're sensing about that?
As I said before, there is no right or wrong answer. We're all here for a reason, whether we know that reason or not. I don't think that people have to get stuck on the what ifs and the whys and the hows and the need to knows. So many people that I know, especially in my age group, are so caught up in the need to know about their life. I need to know why I do this. What is this reason? What is this about? I don't really think that that answer can truly be given, because we're all here to find that out for ourselves. As it was stated previously, it is our own universes. We are all experiencing our own universe right now. There is no way that I can actually prove that I exist to any of you in your universe. It's just so happened that we're all here in this meeting right now experiencing each other. I think that really just allowing the what ifs to flow away and just living for the truest moment of what is. I mean, especially in the United States right now, everything is crazy. It's a mess. I just say, don't get too attached to those. Just let everything really drop in, flow, and just learn the lessons you can from those meanings that you're looking for. I have a lot of people say, well, I don't understand why this happened to me. I'm so stuck on that. But I don't necessarily think that we always have to have those answers. I think that finding out the answers for ourselves is the truest meaning, and that, again, no one can give you that answer except for yourself, and that really doing the work is the most important aspect. Dropping in, doing the meditative practices, really just being with yourself has helped me more than anything else that I could really say.
Perfect. When you were with that council and you were observing that warlike planet, do you recall what the outcome of that was?
It was just gone. I mean, it was flash immediately. Everything was gone. It just no longer existed. I don't know if it was completely destroyed, transported, whatever you would say. I just know that the outcome was resolved. And that was the feeling I remember having, is resolution. There was no, like I said, guilt. There was no anguish. There was no sadness or happiness. It was just resolution. It was what needed to be done had been done. It was a very, you could say, surreal experience, where having that separation from self and then coming back, I had that memory occur, I don't know, 10 years ago. And at that point, I'd already been in the body for several years. And being able to separate yourself and then come back to that, it's a very, like I said, surreal experience. There's no way to describe the separation of what we feel here on the physical plane versus, like I said previously, where I'm from. There is no attachment. There is no sense of self, even. It's a sense of purpose.
When you first started sharing your story, the screen started locking up a little bit. And I think most of the story, people were able to hear about the appendix rupturing and those types of things. What were some of the feelings that you had immediately following that surgery? Because I think that's where the internet started breaking up. A couple people reported seeing portals around you. And when they saw the portals, that's when the energy and the internet started kind of going, locking up.
Gotcha. Okay. The immediate feeling after the surgery was just confusion. I wasn't in a lot of pain after the surgery. Obviously, I was on painkillers, things like that. I was left open for 3 days in order to drain to make sure the infection didn't set up. I was cut from pubic bone to solar plexus in an emergency exploratory surgery where the doctors had to physically remove my organs and actually wash them by hand before putting them back in my body because of how in-depth the sepsis and peritonitis had actually gone into the body. Everything felt very discomfortable, obviously, once I was able to start walking again. It was a feeling of very uneasiness. I was very unsure, even just the first few steps. I remember as soon as I stood up, my knees kind of buckled out from under me, and my dad was there to help grab me to make sure that I didn't fall. But it was like the strangest feeling of when my feet touched the ground. I can't remember exactly how long I was in the hospital for, but it had been quite a while since I had tried standing up at that point. But it was such a foreign experience for me to actually stand. And I really tried pushing through it and learning how to walk. And, you know, I feel like I didn't teach myself that great of walking. I ended up coming with overpronation and things like that in my feet. And I think it was because I was walking so duck-footed in a way, because I didn't know heel toe motion on how to actually walk. I had to reteach myself those motions on how to stand, on how to move. And it took me a very long time to get my full body awareness back.
Okay. We have a question. It said, with all you've been through as a young child, what was your life like as a teenager?
It was interesting, to say the least. You know, I had a totally separate sense of self from family. My mother, as you guys are all aware of, is wonderful. She's very accepting of the energetic aspect. I didn't feel as comfortable with that when I was younger. I kind of separated myself in a way from that. It was much easier for me actually to spend time with people who didn't believe in those sorts of things. For example, a lot of my friends growing up were the outcasts, the rebels, the derelict type children, just because it was easier for me to focus on the physicality to actually stay in the body at that time when I was younger. I really got in a lot of trouble growing up, again, because of the empathic nature that I had. I could be in a fantastic mood, and then all of a sudden I was just ready to rip someone's head off for absolutely no reason. It took me a very long time to truly understand the difference of what I was feeling versus what I was picking up on others. And once I was able to start doing that, that's when I really realized, hey, that's not my energy. I really need to let that go. And I was able to drop into much more of that spiritual aspect at that point. But when I was younger, it was very, very hard because of that empathic nature that I had. It was just a constant turmoil within myself. It was so confusing to go from a happy nature of feeling everything's great, everything's fine, to immediately, I remember being at school one day for a great example in middle school. And I was going in and everything was great. I bumped shoulders with someone and I immediately just felt devastated. And it was the most I could do just to lock myself in the bathroom and stay there for like 2 hours. And I later came to realize that what had happened is the person that I had bumped into, their father had just passed away that day. And I was picking up on that energy, and I had no idea how to understand grief or loss, because I didn't even understand where it was coming from, what it was, or why I was feeling that whatsoever. So it was very confusing, very difficult to actually be able to truly understand the difference of what I was feeling versus what others were feeling.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Alan.
No, so now it seems like you've really integrated a lot of this. And, you know, I think coming out this weekend, your coming out party in a way. So in a way, I see it changing your focus in a sense. I mean, I'm asking, what's your work feel like it's going to be from here on forward? Where are you drawn to now?
I'm definitely drawn more to helping people understand themselves better. Again, because I had such a separation of not being able to understand myself, I really get a lot out of helping people, whether it be physically. The main modality that I focus on is body work, where I help with a structural physiological movement integration. We move muscle, bone, ligament, tissue, fiber, breaking up of scar tissue, getting realignment of new compensation patterns. And just having people walk in and feeling miserable and not having that sense of self versus leaving saying, oh my gosh, I haven't felt this good in so long. We do a lot of energetic vial work, a lot of energy work. At the end of every session, when I have clients go face down, we have cold lasers that help to put the body into a parasympathetic state. And I use that time to do a lot of energy work with people as well to really drop it in, because some of our clients don't even have an understanding of what energy work is. And so for them to understand and get that experience of Reiki or whatever other energy work I'm running through myself at the time, it's really a good experience to help people open up and to get relief. And I've really found myself drawn more towards that. And I really want to work more on just more natural healing modalities. Like I said, we're now starting to offer the live and dry blood analysis course. Hopefully that should be up and running by the end of the month. We're finishing up our classes with that very shortly. I've been looking at taking some nutritional classes just to help people with their overall wellness, because I've really felt a good sense of purpose with myself being able to help others.
Well, do you think you want to help others because you had such a difficult time with that whole appendix thing and, you know, feeling so uncomfortable? Is that part of it, or was that memory wiped out when you walked in, or you still relate to the genetic?
The physical pain aspect, I wouldn't say was as traumatic. I'm very easily able to look at situations, accept from for what they are, and then just let them go. I don't hold any karma, you could say, towards that particular physical issue. I feel like definitely more of the spirituality and just emotional discomfort that I felt growing up, I think definitely helped push me towards where I am now. Like I said earlier, I had a great opportunity when I was younger to learn these different modalities at a young age. And I think that was what really was able to help me grow into where I am now.
Well, it's great. Hilda, I mean, I think you're doing amazing. I think you're really solid in who you are and coming into your own beingness. I mean, you're, and also all those dimensional aspects to you are coming in. Hildegard says, asks, based on who you are now, how do you see the challenges teenagers are going through? What do you feel teenagers are needing most these days?
You know, whether it be teenagers or anyone, I really feel like it's a sense of purpose or a sense of self is what people are missing out the most on in today's culture, whether it be through social media aspects or anything in today's society. We're so separated from one another. I feel like having that community, having that sense of worth is really something that people are missing out on. And I think that's what I encourage people to seek for the most, is really living what they feel like they're passionate about and then growing into that, because a sense of purpose is what keeps everybody here. I mean, with everything that's crazy today, for example, I had yesterday a 14-year-old client who was talking to me about all of the political things that were going on in our country right now, where he said, oh my gosh, we can look at what happened at Washington, D.C., and we can compare that to what was happening with the Black Lives Matter movement and look at how different this was. And oh my gosh, but people at 14 don't need to be focused on those sorts of things. I really think that media has pushed people to grow up way too quickly. And I think that having a sense of community where you can truly feel accepted, that's not just on a social platform, but coming together in a group, whether it be a meditation group, whether it just be people that have a common interest, dirt biking, whatever it is, finding that sense of purpose is what is going to help keep people sane and keep people here. Because with, oh, my apologies, go ahead.
No, finish it, because I had just, no, go ahead, please finish.
With everything that's going on, all the energetic changes that are going on the planet, it's not just walk-ins that are feeling it now. Everyone is getting these immediate changes that are happening in their body, and they have no frame of reference to actually be able to understand what's happening to them. And I think that coming together, whether you're a walk-in, whether you're a starseed, whether you're just Joe Blow from Kokomo, I think it's important to find somewhere that you feel like you belong.
Right. No, I thank you for that, because what your answer was quite, I think, complex in a way, as I kind of take it apart, because I mean, you say, and I agree with you, we need to know why we're here, but then teenagers are sort of forced to make those decisions, like that young kid talking about politics, too early. And I think a teenager, from what my experience, it's okay not to know, instead of being forced into say, okay, what do you want to do? And I wish I was given the opportunity more to just float in the unknown and try many different things, instead of being say, okay, you got to go to college, you got to study this. It's like, it takes years. It takes maybe till someone's 30 or something to know, okay, where do you want to go? And don't rush into it. Don't feel like you have to, unless you know, maybe politics is what you're supposed to do. So if you know early, but if you don't, it will come. I know it will come. And now in this time, this time of transformation, I think it's okay to float in the unknown and not know. If we rush out of it too fast, we'll miss the lessons of dissolution, which are okay, just to dissolve into the nothing, into the not knowing. And the more you, in my experience, the more I let myself go into the unknown, the clearer the vision forward is. Mm-hmm. So we have to give ourselves permission not to know, not to resist the pressures of those that are trying to tell us. And then we become more solid. Like you, it seems, Dylan, you're sort of finding that sense of purpose and passion because you've had so many experiences and now they're sort of crystallizing. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely think that everybody has their own amount of, speed that they can progress at. Like you said, I don't feel as there should be that rush to understand what it's about because everybody's different. Everyone's bodies, everyone's energies, every soul is different out there. And I really feel like just finding yourself is important. Like you said, no matter how long that takes, whether it be a year or a month, even with the opportunities that I had, having such an accepting family and having that amount of support network with me that I didn't feel as though the spiritual aspect of myself was, regarded as taboo. Right. I grew up knowing that it was okay to experience those, but it still took me a lot longer than most people would think to actually grow into that.
That's fine. You're only 24. It's not like, and it may still change. And yet you seem really solid. You seem really wise for all those years. And you're accessing something beyond, this ordinary realm. And I'm really happy you shared. I think, Sheila's just bringing her kids on all that, but no, I didn't really think that, but I think that you really added to this by your experience. And I'm happy you're here. Wait, there's another question. Someone says, I remember that time of your surgery, talked with your mom a lot. Loni says that to the panel. And then Hildegard asks, can you talk about the work that you're doing, the energetic work, right? Your work that you work with people with?
There's different forms of energy work that I use. I was trained traditionally by the Isui Reiki. I've brought in a lot of different energy work through myself that I've been able to channel. That's a very, very different energy modality in and of itself. The vile aspect of what we do is they're just physical structured vials. They're about this big and they're filled with water and they have the exact electromagnetic frequency of a healthy system, cell, organ, pathology, whatever it is that we're working on at that time. And we allow the body to harmonize with those frequencies to bring the body back into a state of homeostasis.
Well, and that works because the body's opening up to the frequencies of in those vials, and that's pretty amazing. So, I also feel like you could be a counselor for people who are just going through a walk-in experience because you really are connected with that. Is that something you would do, counsel? And
I've never really done it in the past. Like I said, I do enjoy bringing that sense of security to people. It's nothing that I had really considered doing in the past, but like I said previously, about 3 years ago, I thought I was going to be in the restaurant industry for the rest of my life. So I'm still really coming into a lot of different things. And that definitely might be something that opens a door in the future. With the work that we do, just as healers and everyone else that does healing work, I'm sure can justify to this, when people come in, they just spill everything. It's, their work life, their family life, all of the frustrations in the world, everything like that. And I really try to just make people have a safe space where they can feel accepted and comfortable discussing whatever issue it is that they bring. I'm definitely not a licensed counselor at this time, but I do feel like I'm able to help people a lot just to ease their mind, at least, because sometimes all people need is just someone to talk to about those kinds of things.
That's really all a counselor does. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't need a license to have people talk to you, but there are some techniques that you learn if you are in training. But I think people might want to get in touch with you, or if do you have any way for people to, do you have an email or a website? Yeah, or just
absolutely. I could.
Yeah. Great. And Sheila, is anything else that you want to add?
No, I was kind of trepidatious about putting Dylan's story in the book and having him here today too, because I thought, oh, people are going to think, well, right. You know, but the reality of it is, and as time goes on and I see Dylan grow and coming into himself and acknowledging that walk-in component and sharing his gifts with other people, you know, he's had so many different and varied experiences just because of the walk-in that I really thought that he would be able to connect with a broader audience than some, say, like with mine, a very specific component.
Well, I think it's pretty amazing that you're his mother and he had this experience. I mean, it's such a great validation. I mean, I would say if you came into any other family, Dylan, it would have been a lot harder. It would have been, I mean, what do you think about that, that you chose this woman to be in that family? I mean, that was a choice.
I mean, I definitely don't think my life would be the same whatsoever. I mean, she's definitely the reason I'm still here for sure. Her and my dad have been such a great support network for me to really just be accepting. So many people today and just that I've talked with in the past over the walk-in conference that we have just explained the trepidation about coming out and talking to people about this and really what they say, feeling of outing themselves at their truest, I mean, most vulnerable state. I never had to feel that way, fortunately. You know, there definitely was still anxieties associated with talking, even just with your family of, you know, anyone talking with their parents about certain things, they're going to have that sense, but it was always a sense of security along with that. I've had a wonderful family that's been very open and understanding about everything. My mom and dad have been wonderful, and I couldn't be blessed to have better parents. They're definitely the reason I'm here.
Beautiful. Thank you.